Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to another edition of the Wolverine.com podcast. Anthony Broom here with Chris Ballas and Clayton Safey. Full booth for the first time in a while. Good to have both of you guys back. Before we get into the meat and potatoes of our show, of course, want to remind you guys that you can get 2 months access to the Wolverine.com's premium content, which includes analysis, it includes the message board. All of that you can get 2 months for $1 using the promo code UM1. So head on over to the Wolverine.com and get that. We're also brought to you today by the Wolverine's special commemorative edition of our magazine celebrating the national championship run from 2023. Written by the staff at the Wolverine, this commemorative edition celebrates Michigan's remarkable 2023 season and its 2024 college football playoff national championship run, which was only a few short months ago, but feels like it was forever ago at this point. And you know, there are features on Jim Harbaugh in there, Blake Corum, JJ McCarthy, you know, full color pages, a lot of great photography in there, analysis columns. It's all there. So head on over to the WolverineOnDemand.com. Get your copy today. We have our the soft cover edition or the hard copy of the book, which the hardbound, I should say. So head on over, get your copy. Plenty of stuff still available there over at thewolverineondemand.com. Fellas, a lot to touch on today. We're kind of now out of this spring football haze. We're out of the NFL draft. Transfer portals close. And this is, you know, the time of year where we get going on this football preview. How's everyone doing?
Just got done with the basketball recruiting issue, so hopefully people will pick that up. Dusty May, after speaking with him, this guy is going to do huge things here. And I'm not just talking about portal stuff. I'm looking at what he did on the recruiting trail, what he's done in the portal, but the way he relates to people, the way he speaks. He's a young John Beilein, and he's even more aggressive, in my opinion, on the recruiting trail. I think this guy's going to win huge here. There were two other guys that I felt that about in the hires over the years, and one was John Beilein, and one was Jim Harbaugh. So I've got a great feeling about this guy and just the way he operates, the kind of person he is, what he's looking for from his recruits. He talks about character and fit all the time about every one of his guys. And you guys will be able to read about this in the basketball recruiting issue, but what he said about these guys and their character and how they're coming together. He has a vision for this team and putting a roster together that, you know, his predecessor wasn't able to figure out. So, and that he did it in 2 months is, frankly, startling. Less than 2 months. I think it was 6 weeks. So you're going to love him. I can't wait to till people read that issue. And now it's time to get up with the football coaches and hopefully we have some really good things to write about, especially in the offense. I'm in wait and see mode there.
Speaking of the Bolts, Clayton sporting the Los Angeles Chargers, Jim Harbaugh, his new team in their hat. So Clayton, welcome back.
Yeah, it's my AFC team, and I'm doing better than my golf game, maybe. I'll tell you that.
I don't have a golf game currently, so my old man used to say a bad day on the golf course is better than a good day at work. So
it's very true.
So, well, let's start with football because, like I said, we're done with spring ball. We're done with the NFL draft. Portal window closed without, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week, Clayton, but much to the chagrin of rival fan bases and maybe some Michigan haters across the country, there was never really that chaos with Michigan football in terms of losing those guys. They retained most of their top players, really all of their core players. Lose a couple guys, in terms of bringing guys in. You've addressed some depth here at wide receiver. Still some other pieces to add. Didn't add at quarterback, which is, again, alluding to what Chris said about some of the questions we have offensively. But now that we're outside of this portal window, and they can still add guys, you just had to be in the portal by April 30th. Where are things head next with this roster, and how do we feel about the roster coming out of spring ball?
Feel good about the starting depth, basically, on really on defense. Offense, obviously, there are going to be some question marks. Seem like they're thin at wide receiver. Offensive line, I think, is going to be pretty good. I feel good about the pieces there. And two guys that barely played, I think. I don't think Josh Parrish and Giovanni Ohadi played much in the spring at all. At least Giovanni didn't. So, and Miles Hinton missed a little bit of time too. But I think when they get those five guys there, I think they're going to be fine and have a little bit of depth there. So I still think they need a corner or two. I still think they need a safety, which they're looking for. The Texas kid, who we'll talk about, I'm sure. And then a couple linebackers from the people that we've spoken with. So, but those first teamers guys, I think are fantastic. Now, when we look at the other side of the ball, I'm concerned about the quarterback. I don't know that you've got a championship quarterback on this roster, just because I don't think you have the talent surrounding them maybe that you need. And of course I said that about 2016, and I don't know that there was elite talent on the 2016 offense, and they still moved the ball with Wilton Spate. Right. And I think there's better position players at some of those positions. So maybe it's possible that the defense leads the way here in this offense does better than we think, but I'd feel much better if they had a quarterback in place. And as to the quote about the guys in they're not flocking to the portal. As one parent told me, they got those top guys at a discount. They got them at 50% off. He said, I don't know if they had a coupon or what, and maybe he was embellishing, but he said, they got those guys at 50% of what they could have commanded on the open market. That's not always going to be the case. So in that respect, Michigan still needs to up its NIL game.
Yeah, just not a ton of chaos in general in college football this cycle. You're not seeing the top guys. That's why a kid like Javier Suggs, a defensive tackle from Grand Valley State, enters a transfer portal, and he has over 40 offers now. A kid who had 7 tackles for loss last year. Of course, he's a D tackle, so stats aren't everything. But it's kind of telling and indicative of maybe what this spring transfer portal cycle is, at least this year, right? And we talked about that with Pete Nakos last week. We'll see what it is going forward, but it feels like the top talent's going to be there in December. That's when you kind of load up maybe your starters, and then this is a depth guy here, some cleaning house there with some numbers with guys leaving. So that's kind of an interesting one. Yeah, the 2016 comparison is interesting to me. Like, they were able to move the ball with an O-line that was good, not great, maybe, not as well coached, I think, as the Sherrone Moore lines the last 3 years. We'll see what Grant Newsom can do, and of course Sherrone Moore will be involved in the line quite a bit. He said that when he was on John Jansen's podcast a week or two ago. So you have to trust that, he's going to have that identity. But Davion Smith was the running back then. I think you could have some, better production there with Donovan Edwards and Kalel Mullings. We'll see, right? Receiver, I think you had some really steady guys there in 16. This year, the guys have to prove it a little bit. I know we have a question about Tyler Morris later on in the show. But, I feel, decent about the roster. They didn't lose a lot of top talent, and now they can still go and get some. Chris, you mentioned Terrence Brooks from Texas, a corner who they're targeting, but a few others you're looking at: wide receiver, maybe to add, corner, D tackle, safety, and as you said, linebacker. So there's still those spots to figure out and those missing pieces. Kicker was a big missing piece that they filled. So I feel like that was one domino, that they were able to knock over. You have the couple wide receivers coming in, maybe not a difference maker at receiver. But you're kind of on your way to filling out those last pieces that you need.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, I think you look at this roster, it does feel like the early kind of Jim Harbaugh era where I think you could see with what they have a path to 9 wins, 10 wins. Anyone who thinks that they're going to revert back to 6 wins, 7 wins, I don't see that. I still think there's way too much talent here. And when you see that you know, all these, and again, you could take all of this with a grain of salt for now, but when you see these early 2025 draft boards and you're a school that has potentially four guys on that list this early in the process, I mean, it kind of speaks to the talent that they still have returning. Now, the question is depth and on offense. I mean, you're replacing almost all of your starters there except for Colston Loveland. And, you know, if you want to call Max Bredesen a starter, I guess you can. But to me, I think that given everything that transpired over the last several months, that they were able to kind of keep this together, keep it mostly intact. You know, I've termed it at times this year as like they're needing to be like this. You're paying the tab on what the last 3 years were in terms of finally having some question marks at other positions. But, you know, the fact of the matter is I don't let how good those teams were take away from the fact that I think that there is still something really good left behind here. And it might be a notch or two below, but a notch or two below could still be a very good season. And now with a 12-team playoff could still have you in the mix for a college football playoff game or to host a college football playoff game. So it's interesting. Again, I know there's a lot of people that kind of come out of this offseason underwhelmed because of the quarterback situation. I think we've seen enough there to where it could be interesting. I don't know that it's going to be like 2017 where you don't even have a guy that can compete a forward pass. But yeah, I mean, it was a guy like JJ McCarthy that helped raise the level of this program, take you to this, you know, national championship contending level. And I think we're going to see what the difference was and just how valuable that guy was, you know, with this next year. And them kind of, it feels like a bit of a stopgap year, to be honest.
Well, it would if you weren't losing all the elite talent from, you know, you're going to lose five more guys to the early rounds of the NFL next year. So when you say stopgap, you know, I've got concerns about 2025 that they're going to have to go to the portal and they're going to have to get a lot of help. I think when you lose guys like Mason Graham, when you lose guys like Kenneth Grant, Colston Loveland. So to me, it's more of a, okay, this is one last opportunity here to really, you know, you're going to have, if the offense is solid, then I think they've got the defense guys to contend in the Big Ten. I wouldn't pick them to win it, but I think that they can hang around until that last game against Ohio State and have a chance. So then again, it all depends on quarterback play. And that to me was the biggest disappointment was, okay, because we've been hearing guys, it's not like we've heard from anybody in that building that, boy, Alec Clergy really made a move and he's the guy. You know, we've got different opinions from so many different people. One guy saying, well, maybe it can be Davis Warren. We had another guy. In fact, some of the players told us when we were delivering some magazines, you know, I think Jack Tuttle's the guy with a little bit of Alec Clergy mixed in. And then I've had another guy tell me that we think Jack Tuttle's going to be the guy. So who knows? And it's, you know, but they've got all summer and they've got all fall camp to figure it out. But to me, that is the one area where you could make up for those weaknesses in depth and you can make up for those weaknesses in losing all those guys to the NFL if you had great quarterback play. I don't anticipate that. And to me, that's the disappointment. But I am still extremely excited for the season because I think this defense is going to be deadly. And I think there are good players on offense, especially on the offensive line. And if they get solid quarterback play, they could win a lot of football games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have that eraser at quarterback like JJ McCarthy was when it was third and long. And yeah, he didn't throw 35 times a game, but the throws he had to make were really important at big moments. And I think Bill Belichick talked about this during the draft. Like, he didn't have the layups like everybody else had, the little screen pass. That was in Michigan's offense, that's a handoff or, you know, a quarterback run at times, maybe not as much as you would have thought given his athleticism. But so the numbers weren't everything, but he was huge for that offense last year. And you don't necessarily have that there. You don't have Blake Corum anymore, but, you know, I think tackle could be a little bit shaky. I'm a little bit concerned about that position on offense. But, you know, I think, like you said, CB, I mean, there are still months to go in the season. As Jim Harbaugh always said, quarterback and kicker are kind of those two positions where you can get better throughout the offseason quite a bit. You don't need somebody else. You can throw into a tire, you know, whatever it is, and improve. And obviously they'll have the receivers there to run routes with, but they still got time. They still got a fall camp. Jack Tuttle will be healthy. You know, so we'll kind of see how it pieces together.
Well, let me ask you guys this. This is kind of off the cuff and just something I thought about as we're having this conversation. You know, as we put together this football preview over the summer, you know, we're going to have to put predictions in stone, which we don't need to do right now. But you know that we're going to have friends, family, maybe subscribers we run into out in the wild ask, what is the expectation? Like, what do you guys think of this team? And to me, I think where I land on it is, you know, as great as it is to win a Big Ten championship, I think, you know, when people like to throw the or bust tag on everything, I really think when you look at this roster and what they have, I don't know if beating Ohio State is the bar this year. I don't know if winning a Big Ten title is the bar. I really think what will determine maybe if this, you know, pass fail and what the season is making that 12-team playoff. I guess, where do you guys stand on that?
That's where I am. And I think 9-3 or 10-2 can do that. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people are expecting them to go into Columbus and win this year. But if they get solid quarterback play, guys, and they can bully them on both sides of the ball again, then they're going to have a chance. And that's why, to me, the quarterback play is so important. I think they'll have a good game plan going in there. They have certainly the last three games against Ohio State. I thought they've been the better coached team. Now you got a different guy in charge. Jim Harbaugh was one of the best in the world, frankly. But Sharon Moore learned a lot from him. And Sharon Moore did coach that game last year. Yes, Jim Harbaugh was part of the planning process in the week before, but Sharon Moore did have to coach that team. So, and these guys don't know anything but beating Ohio State. That's the best part about it. They've got that confidence. And I think that a lot of them are kind of excited that they're being overlooked. And they're thinking that they're coming back trying to defend their championship, especially those guys like Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant and Will Johnson. They have got probably as top heavy an elite five as anybody in the conference, at least. You know, you look at Ohio State and they're pretty good too. I think Oregon's obviously up there as well, but you got like what, three or four first round picks there, fellas. And excited to see what Donovan Edwards can do in a full-time role at running back now as the lead guy, as the number one guy. To me, again, comes down to that quarterback play.
Yeah. And people gave Ohio State a chance this year at Michigan, but Michigan was favored to win the game, but Ohio State had a chance to do it. You know, it came right down to the wire. And you know, the two other games against them in the last 3 years, Michigan kind of, you know, really controlled it at a certain point. They were able to kind of pull away a little bit, but Ohio State was there for a while in those two. So maybe kind of flip the script and actually pull it out like Ohio State wasn't able to do this past year. But they definitely have a chance in that one. And I agree. I think it's getting into the 12-team playoff. You know, before, and Doug Skeen talks about the expectation never changes at Michigan, but I'd like to hear his take on it too. Like, the landscape of college football has changed, you know, to the extent that winning the Big Ten maybe isn't as important. You know, the stakes in these games leading up to the 12-team playoff that now could get expanded in years to come just don't have the stakes that games in the past have. You know, I mean, there's never going to be a regular season game again with the stakes that Michigan Ohio State 2023 had. There just can't be. It's not possible. And I guess that's okay, because then there's more stakes on more games, just not as high, you know, throughout the college football season. I've long been for expansion, but I think you have to change, you know, not the definition of success necessarily, but you know, to a certain extent, I think so. You know, getting into the 12-team playoff should be kind of that baseline for a team that's this talented, right? A lot of questions to be answered about, you know, about the coaching staff and you know, like some of the positions we talked about. But there's enough there where you feel like you should compete for the 12-team playoff.
Yeah, and I guess if there's anything that makes it a little more exciting, you know, to give the positives of college football changing, is that, you know, the fact that this Big Ten championship now will be decided between the top two teams in the conference, period. You don't have to include the team from the West Division or anything like that. They're going to have to play this out on the field, and Michigan's going to get Oregon this year. They're going to play Ohio State. And to me right now, you know, I'll sit down here and start this Big Ten preview for the football preview magazine soon. But to me right now, it still feels like, you know, even with a bit of a quote unquote slide in talent from Michigan, I think that it is a pretty clear top three in this conference heading into next year. So it's Ohio State, it's Oregon, it's Michigan, in whatever order you want to put it in. Certainly Ohio State, probably the favorites on paper. But we'll wrap football with this, fellas. I mean, now that we are kind of heading into the summer, it's going to be camp season soon. You know, we'll be out interviewing guys and seeing guys and shaking hands and all that sort of thing. You know, what is one thing this summer that you'd like to hear about this football team?
First, nobody gets hurt, right? Non-contact injury like Rod Moore. I remember losing Antonio Bass in, I think it was spring workouts or summer workouts, to a horrible injury. That's number one. Number two, that the Jack Tuttle's back and throwing well, because I think there's a pretty good chance that he's going to be the quarterback, or at least be a significant player in that race. So they need somebody that can make the easy passes. And I haven't heard that about, have you guys heard that about Alex Orji? Nor have I seen it that, okay. I mean, he's leaving too many plays out there that have to be successful if this offense is going to move the ball. So I would love to hear that a little bit more accuracy from the quarterbacks more than anything. And to me though, I think the way they came back in shape, I think, you know, a lot of people thought when Ben Herbert left that it was going to drop off a cliff. These guys like Justin Tress, and they've done a great job responding to him. So to me, it all comes down to that. And maybe that they add another receiver and another cornerback, I would feel a lot better.
Yeah, I'd say strength and conditioning, something, you know, jury's still out in terms of how they perform, right? I mean, it's going to come down to like the fourth quarter of some game, and you can't judge it all on that, right? But, you know, it just felt like they came up in those moments so often when Ben Herbert was leading that. So, yeah, to hear good things about that, I think would be a real positive for Michigan, you know, to hear about the mentality of the team, the guys who are stepping up leadership-wise, because once that summer cycle starts, it's mostly the players with the strength staff and the players with each other, you know, captain-led workouts, that sort of thing. You know, so that will be kind of what will determine what kind of Michigan team heads into fall camp, other than additions, you know, to the portal and lack of injuries, hopefully, knock on wood, things like that. So it's going to be kind of interesting to hear. And on the quarterbacks, yeah, I just don't know that any of these guys are going to say anything that will, you know, really convince anybody either way. We're just going to have to see.
Yeah, I think for me, it's probably, I think I'd like to see them add one more wide receiver, someone who's playable. Again, that's not to say that CJ Charleston isn't playable, but again, you are moving up from FCS to FBS. Amorian Walker, if he is coming back to play wide receiver, I mean, it's still kind of a project. I mean, you lost a year of development at that position there. So I'm pretty comfortable in what they have in their top three. I think Tyler Morris is going to take a leap. I think Fred Moore is going to be very good, and Samaj is kind of your slot and gadget guy. I think we've seen what he can do there. But, you know, to get maybe one more body in that room that you know you can throw out there and get some production out of, I think that's probably what I'd like to see the most at this point, because if it's not going to be a quarterback that magically appears, it's gonna have to be how he's supported around him. So I think they're good at tight end. The backs are good. I think they could use another body at wide receiver. Well, let's transition now into basketball. Chris, you sat down with Dusty May last week. We will get to meet Dusty May. We met him at the introductory press conference, but we'll have a sit down with the media on Tuesday. We'll get to meet members of his staff as well. But you had the one-on-one, and there was a lot to glean from it, I'm sure. I mean, a lot of moves to be made over these last few weeks, and you pretty much filled out a roster here. What, you know, what stood out to you the most? I know you kind of introed it when we opened the episode here, but what was maybe your biggest takeaway from the conversation that you guys had?
That he is not shying away from the predictions that they are going to be competitive in the Big Ten. He says, we own that. He said, that's why I came here to win in year one. And I said that at my opening presser, wanted to get off to a good start, did not think that they would go 8-for-8 on the visitors that they really wanted, but did that. And he said, we basically got the guys that we targeted first. The ones that we really went after with aggression, Trey Donaldson, he said, Roddy Gale, and right down the list, he said he knew that Vlad was coming for a long time. So all these message board posters that were like, oh my God, why hasn't Vlad signed? And there were question marks. And he said he probably just, you know, he just had to finish up some classwork or something. But he said he really sold these guys on the idea of playing with Vlad. And he really wanted guys that could play well in the pick and roll with him. And he said he found exactly what he was looking for. And he said, not only that, but they're just high character guys. He was talking about Reuben Jones, and I'm going to put up an article on him today. He played with a torn hamstring last year, I think, a partially torn hamstring. So he said he wasn't even healthy, but he was still the best defender in their conference. He said that they've got a couple guys that will be lockdown defenders. He think Roddy Gale can be too. And he's got a bigger role for Sam Walters. He thinks Sam Walters is more than just a shooter. He said there are things that we're going to do with him. They have an idea of how they want to put guys on the floor together. But at the same time, he said they've got to see him first. But this guy is everywhere. He was at, he basically did his one-on-one with us from Florida Atlantic, where he was watching his guys graduate. His kids love him, and you can tell that there's a lot of respect. The other thing that he said that, I thought was very fascinating was when a couple of the recruits were in and the staff had been together for 2 days, and one of the kids said, "You guys look like you've been together for years." He said the chemistry is off the charts. He said these guys are off and running. They've all got great connections, and you can tell. When it came to Justin Pippen, he said, "I had a mid-major coach call me the second I got the job, and he said, you know, I tried to wrap him up early. He was too big for me, but he's perfect for you." And they watched film. He said he got on the phone with Akeem Miskdean, and who had relationships with some of his people, and that's how they closed the deal. But he said they are absolutely thrilled to be here. You can tell he had the beam, the smile on his face when he was wearing that Block M. He said, I can't believe it. This is a guy that wanted to be here over these other coaching opportunities because he understands what the University of Michigan is all about. This is a grand slam hire, guys. He is going to win big here. I have no doubt.
Well, Clayton, I want to pivot to you here. I guess with this roster, I know there's still maybe a couple spots up for grabs, but lingering questions with this roster, and maybe something that we even, ask, tomorrow when we talk to him, like, is there anything else that they'd like to address with this? When you look over what this roster has and what they're bringing to the table, what do you see as an opportunity to still kind of augment here?
Yeah, it's tough to exactly say because you haven't seen these guys play together, and you haven't seen what a Roddy Gale is going to be like as a junior in college, right? As opposed to a banged up sophomore, for example, because I think he's one of the guys that could be the difference makers on this team, or one of them, that, you have the ball in his hands late in the game, that sort of thing. But I think they're missing potentially that piece, but again, it could be on the roster. And then, just maybe the vision on what the quote unquote four position is going to look like. You have Will Cheddar there, you have Sam Walters, who's kind of more of a big three probably than a prototypical four. But as Dusty said, on, I think it was Rothstein's podcast, when he basically said it's a lot of it's going to depend on who the other team has on the floor too, like what their rotation is going to look like. So you have Danny Wolf. You have a lot of height and size down there. So maybe it's that athletic big wing or a difference maker scorer. But honestly, they're sitting at 12 scholarships right now. Like, this is it's a pretty good, talented, and deep team that I think there are probably some good players on this team that aren't going to get the minutes that they want just because they have filled this roster pretty impressively. Eight guys. I was trying to think of – I know Trey Townsend visited. They didn't get him, and I don't know, how hard they pushed. But was that the only visitor that they didn't get? It might have been that's pretty ridiculous. So, CB, I know you wrote about that. That's fantastic stuff. And the fact that they were able to do that and that they can identify who they want, get them here, and get the interest reciprocated, and that they want to play for Michigan, for Dusty May, for this staff is really, really impressive. And as Dusty said in his intro presser, like, part of building for the long term is winning in year one. And I think they're going to do that, pretty darn well here. You look at the roster right there. It's they've got a chance to do that once they forge things when they arrive around June 10th.
And that second year looks pretty good, too, as a base, right? Some of those guys might move on, but at the same time, he's going to be recruiting some other kids that are going to be really, really helpful to that team, too. So I'm very excited about his roster composition. That was one area where Juwan Howard really had a hard time, right? And I think he put his eggs into a couple baskets there that a lot of people knew it wasn't going to pan out with these kids, and then got burned. And now you've got ball handlers, you've got guys that are at every position here where it's okay, who's going to play and who's going to sit. So I love it. I love what he's accomplished here, and going to be fun to watch, guys. I guarantee it.
I think what sticks out to me is, you just hit on it, Chris, operationally, how much more organized it is. This was a board of guys that, did he extend 40 offers, 45 offers? And those are just the ones we knew about. A couple of these guys kind of came out of nowhere. So the way that they were able to cast a wide net and do the legwork that you need to do, make sure these guys can get into school before you accept commitments and, go through the hoopla like Michigan did with, the Terrence Shannons of the world, Caleb, certainly the Caleb Love situation last year. So, not to drag not to drag his predecessor on the way out the door, but I mean, this is the most organized Michigan basketball has been since John Beilein's been there. So to me, I think that's what sticks out. Excited to get to know some of those guys on the staff tomorrow when we head to Ann Arbor to meet with them. So that'll be interesting. We'll have more on that later this week. Fellas, I think we can probably close out here with questions. We got a lot of good ones on the message board. So just rapid fire, keep them moving. I'll start with this one from Andrew H. Fine. This is a football question. He says, there's no question that last year's football staff was elite. What is the vibe on the new staff so far? Is there a future superstar among them? And if so, who is it?
I think it's early for that. I'll be honest. I want to see them in action first. And, you know, we hoped, right, when Jim Harbaugh brought some of these young guys, when he brought Steve Klingscale here, we knew that he was very highly thought of, right? A lot of these guys are still just getting started in their careers. I think Brian Jean-Marie is a guy who really proved something at Tennessee. You know, there's some question marks here after his first year, and that basically, guys, 2020 was a wash. Nobody will ever convince me otherwise. That was just a wasted year, and nothing that really happened that year mattered. With all due respect to whoever won the championship, was it Alabama? I don't even remember. But to me, I think Jean-Marie is a guy who can be. Other than that, you know, I think Kirk Campbell's going to do a great job. I've got a lot of faith in him. I think he's a football junkie, and Sharon Moore has faith in him. So those guys, you know, I tend to put a lot of stock into what Sharon Moore says and thinks about somebody. And when he was using him as his right-hand man, that goes to show you how much he trusted him. So we'll see on the other guys. But to me, those are the ones that really kind of stick out.
Yeah, I think they have a superstar already in Wink Martindale, who's, you know, had a ton of success. He's been an NFL coordinator for a decade. He's been an NFL coach for 20 years, was in college before that. And, you know, I think he would qualify maybe as that guy. But in terms of a rising guy, I would circle Kirk Campbell as well. I think he is, you know, he's destined to do some really great things and getting his coordinator chance this year. It'll be interesting to see how he runs that offense, but you just feel like he has a pretty good grasp on things. And then in terms of the vibe, I mean, I feel like the defensive staff is like, you know, even Lou Esposito was talking a few weeks ago, like he got here, he has this great defensive line group to work with, but he had to learn the defense. Like those guys knew the defense. He had to learn it. So I feel like those guys were getting up to speed. Lamar Morgan pretty much knew it from his time with Minter at Vanderbilt. Brian Jean Mary had a month or two that he was working and trying to install with Mike McDonald before he moved on to Tennessee early on in 2021. But those guys had the roster intact, but they were trying to get up to speed and work together. The guys on the offense pretty much stayed the same. A couple guys shifted positions like Kirk and Grant Newsom, but they're trying to figure out what the hell this group of personnel is on offense. So it's kind of interesting dynamic, from one side of the ball to the other. But the vibe and everything else, it's like they say it's good. I imagine it is, right? But, it's hard to know for sure. And really, you don't know. Everything's judged. You know, if they lose a bunch of games this year, then we'll find out that the vibe was no good. But if they win a lot, it'll be this is such a connected staff. It's just kind of the way it goes. So it's really hard for anybody to say.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, especially with that defensive staff, given that all of them have defensive play calling or coordinator experience. So, you know, that could go two ways. That can be a productive exchange of ideas that brings out the best in everyone, or it could be, you know, too many cooks in the kitchen and too many opinions and butting heads. And I'm really interested to see how that dynamic works out. Let's move to this one from Run Tell Dat, who says, Alex Orji, is he going to stay in Ann Arbor for the summer and work with Kirk Campbell or work with a QB guru or a combination of both? Are we aware of what his plan is?
I don't know. I would imagine he'll spend a ton of time in Ann Arbor with his receivers. He has to. You've got to build that bond over the summer, even if it's just 7-on-7. If he has a 7-on-7 or a quarterback coach, that'd be great, because I think, you know, that's the one area he really needs to work on, obviously, is his passing. And that's what needs to improve if he's going to be a successful quarterback at Michigan. So, but we will try to find out. That's a great question. A lot of these guys do go back and work, like J.J. McCarthy worked with his quarterback's coach, and a lot of these guys do. So we'll try to find out for sure on that one.
Yeah, that I feel like May is probably the time where they will get that type of work in. Then when they get back in June for the summer cycle, like you want to start building that chemistry, like you said, CB. So I would imagine it's a combination, maybe a week, you know, out in California, like a one-off type of thing. But other than that, you would think that most of these guys would be sticking around all summer. And then they start, you know, late July, early August. So there's not as much time maybe as you think once May is over with.
We'll move this one from Morda, who says, for the football team to stay competitive, and even if that means going to a base pay model, how much do they need yearly in fundraising? They jumped up significantly this year, but is it going to take 20 plus million a year? I just don't see how that'll work and if they'll be able to raise that much year in and year out.
I agree with that. And that's what worries me, right? Because there are some programs that have that booster that's going to give them 10 million off the top. If you think about it, Oregon's got the Nike money. Ohio State's clearly got the money now. They lose three in a row to Michigan and watch their rival win a national championship, and then they come out of the woodwork, right? The Roaches with their $100 bills. So it's going to be tough. And, you know, when I hear these stories about how the top guys came at a 50% discount, and I'm thinking, man, you know, and then you're hearing other guys, you know, aren't getting some money and aren't getting a ton of money, and they're not paying recruits. So how much do you really need? It does almost seem like you need double what they have. And they might have to change their approach too, guys. I'm not talking about blatant pay for play, but you have to have a salary structure in place. And I've said this so many times that when you know, when you get here, you know, you're getting this at the very least, because there aren't going to be a whole lot of people that put a lot of stock into, okay, we'll promise you, we'll give you something when you get here. You just got to earn it a little bit and maybe do something like this, do something like that. People want to see numbers now. And that's just the way it is. And that's why Michigan's losing a lot of these kids to the likes of Kentucky.
Yeah, numbers. And I think it's kind of interesting because you're going to have your amount that you're going to take care of the roster with and, you know, be able to build in some extra, you know, where it's like, okay, if you become a starter and you blow up in September and October, you know, by the time that December portal opens, you better take care of that kid. So you got to have, you know, a little bit extra for that. And you got to have extra for when you're trying to get kids out of the transfer portal or the high school ranks as well. So you kind of have to have a certain amount that your current roster is rolling with, and that be enough. And then the rest of it is, you know, in the bank for kids that you're going to get, because what if they need a quarterback in December? Like, you're going to have that ready to go, that amount of money ready to go early on, or at least an idea of when you're going to have that. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like what Ohio State was 13 or 15 this year, something like that.
More than that. They said 13 was what they wanted. It went up dramatically after the Michigan loss. Somebody told me they're in the early in the low 20s by the time.
Low 20s, and they had to get you know, some top tier guys like a Caleb Downs, that sort of thing. I don't know if you need that. So yeah, maybe 20 is the amount for a big time school.
Maybe. You know, the thing that I find interesting, and again, I'm not going to use this as the pulpit to talk down on Michigan's NIL, but, you know, I don't know of now that they have a national championship under their belt, you don't see other schools of this caliber struggling as much on that front as they have been. And, you know, maybe it helps to have a Tyson Chicken guy or the Walmart money, or to have Jerry Jones in your back pocket, or Phil Knight, FedEx, or whatever it is. But
FedEx.
I mean, I find it hard to believe that they can't do better. But at the same time, like, it's just all doesn't feel sustainable in terms of the collective model, in terms of the fundraising model. The base salary stuff, the profit sharing, that's coming because it has to. I think that toothpaste is too far out of the tube, and we're going to get probably something on that this summer. And that'll probably be something I'm at least my understanding is that's not till 25, 26 or beyond. So, you know, in the here and now, you have to kind of make do with what you have. And piggybacking off that, this one's from Florida Matt, who says, what will be the line in the sand that finally makes Michigan adapt to compensation for high school recruits? Is it a football season like Michigan basketball just had? What are your thoughts on that, fellas?
Yeah, I think when they start losing, right? And if they lose four or five games a year, then they're going to understand that we can't compete. So now maybe they'll continue success in the portal, right? I think part of the reason that these kids stayed this year, though, is because they wanted to see it through, what they've accomplished here, and why they weren't willing to go, you know, why some were willing to stay at a discount, according to their parents, was because they know they're going to be here for another year. They know they're going to get their huge paydays next year. And $700,000 is good enough, or whatever they're making, right? So, but to me, next year's the big test, right? If you come off a 3-loss season, for example, say, and okay, now you've got programs that are looking for some of your better players who, and I don't think there are going to be a whole lot of All-Americans on the roster next year. Are you going to be able to keep those guys together when the glow of the national championship has worn off a little bit and things like that? So to me, that's when we're really going to find out. But there's no question that losing, I think, is what's going to be to the top boosters. You know, a lot of them right now are probably like, what's the problem? We're winning here, you know, and we just won a national championship. Why are you telling me that we need money for this? But if they see some of the losses start coming in, I'm sure it's going to change.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the philosophy, I think it's less about, I mean, obviously the money has to be there, but in terms of adapting Michigan's approach, whether that's the athletic department or the football program itself, you know, that's a change they can make tomorrow if they wanted to. You know, you just, you know, it would be a certain amount. So I don't know. Is that going to be Sean McGee and Sharon Moore pulling the trigger on that? Is it Ward Manuel? I'm not exactly sure. I don't know that it's going to take an equivalent of an 8-24 basketball season. It might take a couple more losses on, you know, top recruits or something like that, where they maybe change at least their messaging to recruits and transfers. So it's kind of an interesting thing that I think that we'll probably all be interested in monitoring, because there kind of are no rules now when it comes to pay for play and that sort of thing.
Well, let's move to a question about a player on the field that is currently locked in. Minnesota Fats wants to know about Tyler Morris. What is the ceiling for Tyler Morris this year? I feel like he could be a great playmaker for Michigan.
Yeah, he was a top 100 guy in high school for a reason. And I think he's going to be the leading receiver. He'd be my pick anyway. And I think he's a 600 to 700 yard guy, right? Kind of like that Ronnie Bell role a couple of years ago in the years when he led Michigan in receiving. So, and I think he has that ability. I think we saw the speed in the Rose Bowl. I think he's got good hands and he's got the wiggle. So for all of these guys, it's going to be about getting stronger and being able to get off the line, right? And how Michigan gets them off the line. They were creative with Roman Wilson and they put him in motion quite a bit. So they got to get a little bit stronger. But he was one of those, that freak show trio of receivers that Jim Harbaugh talked about. And guess what? He's the only one left. Well, I guess Amorian Walker coming back. We think he's going to be a wide receiver, but if they need him at cornerback, they could probably play him there too. But this is a guy that I picked as my breakout player of the year, I think last year or maybe 2 years ago. And he's shown flashes of that. This is the year that he really has to do it. And I think that he's going to be that Ronnie Bell type of receiver.
Yeah, I think he's going to take a huge jump in production, similar to, you know, Roman Wilson from 2 years ago to last year, and probably lead the team in receiving if it's not Colson Loveland. It's kind of funny when you're that third receiver in Michigan system like Roman was 2 years ago and Tyler Morris was last year, you don't really get that many snaps or opportunities or targets. You know, Roman talked about that last offseason, you know, where he said, you know, someone said, what's been, you know, preventing you maybe from being that go-to guy in the past. And he said flat out it was opportunity. I'm looking at the targets here. Like Tyler Morris had 21 targets last year. That's it. That was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th on the team, even behind Samaj Morgan. A lot of those Samaj ones were, you know, short and quick. But Tyler Morris now is going to have to play probably all three receiver positions. I think he can do that. And like you said, CB, I love what Kirk Campbell does, tries to get these guys free releases. I think Tyler Morris is a guy that will benefit from that because he's not that big physical guy. But, you know, I like him. I think he's probably going to be right up there and have several, you know, 100 receiving yards.
Well, excited to see what he'll be able to do. Excited to see what this new look wide receiver room does. I'm just, to bring it all first full circle, intrigued as hell by this offense in particular. And I don't know if that's good intrigued or bad intrigued yet. I guess we'll see how the summer plays out. We'll see how, and again, you don't have that runway to figure it out this season. You have a game against Texas in week 2. So there's going to be a sense of urgency there and, you know, continuing to develop that identity and figure out what this thing is going to look like. But I think that's going to do it for us today, guys. Appreciate your time. Appreciate everyone for watching.
We're not taking Bloomer's question.
I want to maybe table Bloomer's question, and I'll read it here. He says, okay. Provide your speculative overall rating for our QBs on the new College Football by EA Sports that drops this July on throw power, accuracy, speed, juke, ball carrier, and kick return. That's just a lot to chew on for a quick.
Yeah, let's do that next time here.
I have mine ready, but I will keep it saved for next time.
There you go.
Okay. Well, let's chew on that. We'll get to it next time around, but, thank you guys for watching. Be sure to like this video, subscribe to our YouTube channel, for more. A lot of stuff coming out from our recruiting guys are out traveling. We'll obviously be here with videos. We'll have all kinds of stuff up over the next, really, I mean, we got you covered to the off season and into the season. So I'll be sure to subscribe to our channel here. Use that promo code UM1 to get 2 months of access to our site. All the premium content you could possibly ask for $1. That's promo code UM1 for 2 months of access. And that's going to do for us. So for Chris Ballas, Clayton Safey, our producer Megan behind the scenes, I'm Anthony Broom. Thank you. We'll talk to you again next time.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.